Sue Bishop's our preacher this morning, and I'm going to pray in a moment, and then she's going to come, and we are so grateful to God for her. So grateful to God for the incredible gift sets in this church, and just the way that God just uses us all if we will surrender and say yes to him. And so we're hugely grateful that Sue is our preacher. Shall we welcome her? Those of you that are in the room, give a little applause. And at home, come on, at home, why don't you welcome her as well? I'm just going to step back here a little minute. And probably what I should do is just keep waffling, really. You can be rude about that in the comments if you want. That should be easy, Gareth's saying. You're very good at waffling. I'll tell you how I'm going to waffle. I know we don't really do birthdays anymore, but Beck Dean, it's your birthday. So, yeah, look, nice little round of applause there. Got that one there. So, shall I sing to you? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Beck. Happy birthday to you. I don't know why I just sang. Why did I just sing? Like, I'm going to regret that, aren't I? I'm going to regret that. No, I won't regret saying happy birthday to you, Beck. And if it's your birthday, no, I've slipped back into the CBeebies moment. If it's your birthday, happy birthday to you. But happy birthday, Beck. Father, I thank you for Sue. I thank you for the gifting on her life. Lord, thank you. She's a great preacher. She's a great preacher, a great communicator. And we're so blessed here at Harbour to have her. This morning, Lord, I want to pray for her, that you would strengthen her, every part of her being. Living water, flow and flood through her today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you, Sue, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Sarah. That's wonderful. Thank you. I think if some of you have heard me preach before, you'll know that I've talked about living in Northern Ireland. And when we lived over there, there was a town called Lisburn. And on the road out was the Moira Road. And on the Moira Road was the Byrne House factory. And when you went past the Byrne House factory, it smelt like nothing I have ever smelt before. It was putrid and disgusting. I think they made animal products there. But I'm not really sure. I couldn't really find out a lot about it. And whenever we were going that way, I really hoped we wouldn't go past the Byrne House factory, because even with the windows closed, it sort of seeped into the car. And for a long time, there was sort of wrangling going on between the residents. There was actually a residential estate all around the Byrne House factory. And of course, it was awful for the people living there. I read online that actually the factory owners thought they'd try to get a German odour eater. What a German odour eater is like, I don't know, but apparently he never arrived. Fortunately, just a few years ago, the council closed them down because the smell was so toxic. Contrast that with a few years after that, I was in TK Maxx, and as I stepped into TK Maxx, this wonderful smell went past me. And it was just a beautiful fragrance. And I thought, I have got to find out more about this. So as you do, I followed the smell round the store and I managed to locate the woman that was wearing the perfume. And when she had a break-in conversation with her friend, I said to her, "What is that beautiful perfume you're wearing?" And she told me. And it was so lovely, I'm still wearing it today. It's expensive, but there was something about that aroma that drew me to it. Contrast those two smells. One was repellent and toxic and made me want to withdraw. And the other drew me in so much that I wanted it for myself. In 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14, the Bible says, "But thank God he has made us his captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume." That is God's desire for you and me, that we would go out in the world, or wherever we engage with people, and we would send out a sweet aroma of Christ. Do you know what I've noticed about perfume, which is really strange, is that other people can smell it more than I can. That it's only when I take a scarf off or a jumper off, I get a whiff of that lovely, lovely smell. But I realize other people have come up to me and said, oh, what's that perfume that you're wearing? You know, when they make perfumes, there are three different types of perfume. There is those that are made from natural products, the pure, real deal, like pure roses or pure lavender or jasmine or sandalwood. It's the pure product. The second type of perfume is made of a mixture of pure product and synthetic product. And the final type of perfume is the cheapest one, and that is a synthetic perfume, man-made, made in a laboratory to smell like the real thing, but it's not the real thing. And do you know that with synthetic perfumes, they can actually sometimes harm your body? Certain ones of synthetic perfume can react against you. And so it is with the body of Christ. We can either draw close to Christ and have the real aroma. We can go around with the fragrance of Christ upon us and spritz it wherever we go, or we can carry religion. You see, religion is the synthetic alternative. Religion is not the real deal. Religion is man-made. It's making us think that we're close to Christ. But it's just all about form and format. It is not the real deal. When you choose a perfume, particularly if you are finding one for a friend, quite often we look at the packaging and we think, gosh, that's got really nice artwork. It's got glass stones on it, it's got glitter, it's got ribbons, and you think, well, that'd make a really nice gift. So we look at the packaging. Or we might take the bottle out, and it's a really unusual shape. Maybe it's a fruit or a flower or something, like an animal or something, and we think, well, actually, that could look really, really nice set in my bedroom, that prettily shaped bottle. But do you know that often the very best perfumes come in the plainest packages? They don't need to dress up what they do. They are just good. People know that Chanel No. 5 is expensive but beautiful, so they don't have to worry about the packaging. And sometimes as Christians, we get a little too hung up about the packaging. It's absolutely right to be relevant for the generation we're in. But sometimes we are more concerned about the packaging and what it looks like than what it is like. That whether we really are spritzing out the aroma, the anointing, changing the atmosphere with the presence of Christ. You know, it's said about Jesus in Isaiah that there was nothing about him to attract us to him. Jesus wasn't big on packaging. Jesus was the real deal. He didn't have to overemphasize his packaging because he just was, as I say, the real anointing. And this morning I want us to look at three short passages of scripture to remind us how when we carry the fragrance of God, we can change the atmosphere that we go into. Because it is so powerful, because Christ is in us, we have an ability to change the atmosphere. And the first one is in Samuel, and it's about Saul's downfall. King Saul had been repeatedly disobedient to God. And God had had enough. He'd taken away his anointing. He still operated in the role of king, but the anointing was no longer there. And that had made him an extremely difficult man to be around. He was extremely bad-tempered, he was angry, and he had been tormented by a spirit from God. It says in 1 Samuel 16, verses 15 and 16, some of Saul's servants said to him, "A tormenting spirit from God is troubling you. Let us find a good musician to play the harp, and whenever the tormenting spirit troubles you, he will play soothing music, and you will soon be well." They weren't looking for the person that we got to play at our wedding. I thought it would be a nice idea to have a pianist while we were eating our buffet, some sort of gentle music in the background. So I found this man who'd advertised, and his reports about himself were very good. But there was one thing I forgot to do. I'd never heard him play. So on the day of our wedding reception, all the 100 guests piled in. They laid up the buffet table, and this man got to the piano. Well, he played energetically, enthusiastically, and robustly. But he wasn't terribly accurate, and he was very loud. And he didn't really do a lot for the atmosphere. It was the sort of atmosphere where it was difficult to talk to people. And at one point, Tim went up to him and said, "Would you like some refreshments?" And he said, "No, no, I wouldn't." No, he said, "I want to give you value for money." He had a wonderful time. He really enjoyed himself. And I wouldn't recommend him. So he wouldn't be the man to send to King Saul. I don't think that would have helped, but David came in. And David was skilled at his gift. You know, God gives us all gifts. Not necessarily a musician. You could be an admin. You could be a manager. You could be artistic. You could be great with kids. You have a gift on your life. And God's heart is that we would skill that gift to the best level we can. So David came in with his gift, but also the Lord was with him. And it says in verse 23, whenever David played the harp, Saul would feel better, and the tormenting spirit would leave. The toxic atmosphere of anger and hatred and regret and fear was transformed by the anointing power of God that came in through the fragrance of David and his playing and his presence with the Lord. The second one is about a place of barrenness, and it's the story of Elijah. This is a time of severe famine in the land, and miraculously Elijah has been fed by ravens and by a sort of supernatural brook, which then dried up. And so God was saying to Elijah, the place that you're in right now has dried up. The place that you're in now is no longer for you. I have somewhere else. And so in 1 Kings 17, verse 8, then the Lord said to Elijah, go and live in the village of Zarephath, near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you. Do you find sometimes God's words are a bit minimal? That sometimes God will say to you, do that. And you're thinking, and the detail is God. And so I wondered if Elijah thought, this could be good. I know that there's a famine. I know it's a widow. I know times are hard, but maybe this woman has got a store cupboard full of food. Maybe we're not going to need the miraculous here. Maybe it's just going to happen. It would be a bit like if you'd gone to Tim's mum's house, or you have a meal with Tim. You can't see the table. There is so much food that I don't actually know where we store it sometimes, but it comes out and it fills the table, even for two of us. You still can't, and we have a big table. So I wondered if Elijah was thinking, would it be like the bishops? You know, would it be full of food? And when he gets there, things are not what he hoped. It's a situation of complete desperation and poverty. And the widow that he sees is actually scurrying around, trying even to find sticks for a fire before she even works on the food. So Elijah says to her, would you give me some water, which she goes to do. And then he says, will you give me some bread? And she says to him, have you seen the situation that we're in? There is absolutely nothing here, and you're asking me for something I can't give you. We have just flour, we have just olive oil. I'm going to make a meal, and then we're going to die. What a bleak, bleak outlook. This is what Elijah has walked into. Nothingness, barrenness, hopelessness. And then Elijah says to her, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you said, but make a little bread for me first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord God of Israel says. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. You see, what she had to do was receive the word of God, the bread of life in that sense, before bread was truly manifest to her in the physical. Elijah comes in with the word of God, and he changed the atmosphere. The atmosphere in your situation can be changed when we employ the word of God. The sweet perfume of God breathed into this situation of hopelessness and despair and nothingness. And if this woman would choose to believe the word of God, she would be supplied. And when she did what God said, God did what he said. And finally, we're going to look at a situation with Paul and Silas of no escape. Paul and Silas thrown into prison for something they didn't do. The Bible says they were beaten severely, so their wounds would have been open and bleeding, and they were thrown into the inner cell and shackled, so they could not escape. What an awful situation to be in. Around you, you're surrounded by criminals. Swearing, probably, people waiting for execution. Again, an absolutely hopeless, no way out. How can we escape from this situation? And then in Acts 16, verse 25, the Bible says, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They decided to do what they could do, not what they couldn't do. Often in life, there are things we can't do, but there are certainly things that we can do. And we know they changed the atmosphere. They sprayed the walls and the chains and the men, and the whole atmosphere in that prison was changed because they brought in the fragrance of Christ. The fragrance of Christ was sprayed around all over the place. And it says that the prisoners listened. What was riotous and loud and unpleasant and uncouth and unfearful was stilled. The atmosphere was changed with singing and with praising God and prayer. How amazing that we have the power for Christ in us to change the atmosphere of the situations that we're in. You know, it's not easy singing in the dark. It's easy singing when everything's going well. It's hard singing in the dark. It is an act of the will. It's not an emotional thing, I feel or I don't feel. It's I choose. I choose to sing in the dark even when things are really difficult. Because I know that with Christ, the atmosphere will change. And suddenly there was a massive earthquake in verse 26. And the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately fell open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. You know, sometimes God is doing the shaking. It's not always the enemy that's shaking, it's God. As long as our foundation is secure on Christ, then we will stand firm. And in that atmosphere, that fragrance of Christ that wafted into that place, the chains fell off. The chains fell off when the atmosphere changed. You know, in every one of those circumstances, the sweet aroma of God changed the atmosphere from toxic to calm, from hopelessness to hope, from captivity to freedom. And we have the capacity to change atmospheres when we spend time with God. And what's the ingredients on our perfume bottle? It would read love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, self-control would come out when we've been with Jesus and we spray around that sweet perfume. And what's the cost? Chanel number 5 is expensive. This is priceless. This perfume was bought with the broken and crushed body of Jesus Christ. That was the price that was paid for the perfume that you and I can access. And what would be the label on this perfume bottle? Eternal life. That's what we can spray around. Eternal life, life forevermore, life without end. Heaven is our home. We're just passing through. Sometimes, you know, we need to spritz a bit of perfume on each other too. We need encouragement from each other. That's why we need to stay filled, our perfume bottles. And right now you're probably thinking, well, here I am sitting at home watching you online. I'm not interacting. But I think you probably are. You're probably doing Zoom meetings. You're probably on FaceTime. You're probably on Messenger. You're probably on Facebook. You're probably on Twitter. Aren't you impressed? See? I might be moving on in years, but I'm not moved off completely the social radar. But there are so many platforms that you could come in and spray Christ. People are spraying toxic stuff these days. People are spraying a lot of fear, which is understandable. But we can spray Christ. If we draw close to Him, let's press that nozzle on the bottle and let's spritz Christ all over the place and let's change the atmosphere. Let's just pray. Father, we just want to thank you that you have given us so much, Lord. You have given us what is priceless. We can walk around the shops and see expensive things, but we can't see anything that matches the cost of what Jesus paid on the cross, that we might be filled with the essence of that pure perfume. Father, let us be mindful today that you're calling us to change the atmosphere. Because of Christ in us, we can change the atmosphere. Thank you, Lord. Amen.